windows grease.
Something you use to keep flies inside the house.
Correct. Pay that man $8. What is a bathing beauty?
A girl with a nice profile all the way down.
Correct. Pay that man $9 because...
it pays to be ignorant. As living proof to all you servicemen and women listening in over there that it does pay to be ignorant, here's another half hour with radio's biggest selection of zanies, the incomparable wit, George Shelton, Lulu McConnell, and Harry McNaughton, our doctor of music, Nat Novick, and the man who sticks his neck out every week at this time, our moderator, Tom Howard.
Thank you, Ken Roberts, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Well, there's that quiz program again with a board of experts who consists of three people whose brain has been in quarantine ever since the day they were born. First, we have to celebrate author Mr. Harry McNaughton, who has just written a book entitled How to Get Into a Girdle or the Battle of the Bulge. But here he is, Mr. Harry McNaughton.
Thank you. I have a poem, Mr. Howard.
Yeah.
Yes, with graceful feet, a maiden sweet was tripping the light fantastic when suddenly she tore for the dressing room door. Ha-ha. You can't trust this wartime elastic.
Has to be.
I could have written more, you know, but I didn't want to stretch it.
All right. Next, we have a woman who, when a girl at school couldn't get ahead and still hasn't got one. A woman who, when she calls to visit you, can stay longer in the half hour than the average person can stay in a whole week, Miss Lulu McConnell.
I was at a party last night, Mr. Howard.
Yeah?
We played Puss in the Corner.
Did you enjoy yourself?
No. Somebody hit me in the puss as I lay in the
corner. Well, let's get on here. Next, we have a man who was born in a fog. Now, everything he touches is myth. A man who, when a boy, killed his mother and father so he could go to the orphan's picnic, Mr. George Shelton.
Hey, you know, McDonald, did you see by the newspapers, Dick Tracy just paid $50 for a suit of red flannel underwear.
$50 for a suit of red flannel underwear?
Yeah, I bet he'll get itchy this time.
Let's get on here. Now that you met the experts, here's the first question. See if you can tell me. Here it is. What is a bridal path used for?
Did you say a bridal path, Mr. Howard?
I said bridal path. Yes. What is it?
It's the last mile for some poor sucker.
Wait a minute.
Oh, no. A bridal path is an aisle in a church. You walk down it.
That's not what I mean. A bridal path is something else.
Well, if it's something else, why do they call it a bridal path?
It is a bridal path.
Then leave it that way. What do you want to change it to something else for? You're always changing things. I bet you're the guy that changed 6th Avenue to the Avenue of the Americans.
Look, you're talking about marriage.
Well, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about something that has to do with a horse.
Oh, come, Mr. Howard. Who ever heard of a horse getting married? Silly.
Why not? They lead them to the halter, don't they?
Lead them to the halter. That's terrible.
And he has a groom, don't he?
I see.
You mean she has a groom.
Don't get so nosy.
All right. The question's not about marriage. It's about horses.
Oh, I went horseback riding the other day.
Yeah, did you go alone?
No, the horse went with me.
Well, wait a minute. Mr. McNaughton, you say you went horseback riding. Where did you ride?
Well, right between the horse's neck and his tail.
I
would say approximately around the middle.
All right, that's enough, don't
on the top side.
All right, wait. Let's get on here.
I love horseback riding. I went horseback riding last Sunday.
Fine. You went horseback riding. Tell me, where did you go?
I took a canter through the woods.
Oh, really? How is Eddie?
Will you please get back to the question? What is a bridal path used for?
I remember when I got married.
Now, don't start that marriage business.
I didn't start it. It's been going on for years.
Early, even before we had bridal paths.
Bridal paths are not for marriage.
Well, what are they for, then?
They're for bridles. Wait a minute. They're for horses.
Well, horses have bridles.
Look, Miss McConnell, have you ever been in Central Park?
Are you kidding?
Well, I see what you mean. Have you ever seen people riding horseback in the park in the daytime?
Now, what would I be doing in Central Park in the daytime?
Ah,
silly boy.
Thank you.
years to her husband. How long has her husband been married?
Mr. Hart, what's their name?
That doesn't make much difference. We'll just call them Mr. and Mrs. C. Cook.
Did you say Mr. and Mrs. C. Cook?
That's right.
I used to know their son.
Oh, how'd you know they had a son?
Well, everybody called him a son of a C. Cook.
Yes. Please, forget the name. The question is, if a woman is married 25 years, how long has her husband been married?
Was it a church wedding, Mr. Howard?
That doesn't enter into the question. Let's just say it's a plain, simple wedding.
Anyone that's get married is plain and simple.
I see.
If you ask me.
Well, nobody asked.
Well, they might. They might ask me.
Oh, wait, they ask.
They might, mightn't they?
All right, they might.
Yes. Well, I was married by a justice of peace.
You were?
Yeah. And I haven't had no justice and no peace since.
Mr. Connell, tell me, how did you get your husband?
I won him in a crap game.
Oh. Was the dice loaded?
No, but he was.
Mr. Hart, do you think marriage is the chief cause of divorce?
Yeah, I think it is, Mr. Yes. McGraw. You're an ignoramus, Mr. McGraw.
Well, you're wrong, old boy. I don't belong to any law.
I see.
Hey, Mr. McConnell, would you marry an ugly man just for his money?
I don't know. How much money you got?
Well, I
can't. Get back to the question. If a woman is married 25 years, how long has her husband been married?
I think I'll get married. You know, I've been going through life in single harness. I think I'll do it in double harness after this.
Well, give my regards to the other horse.
I wish I'd never turned around the first time my old man whistled at me.
Yeah. I bet your old man wished you had never whistled, if you asked me.
Have you any children, Mr. McNaught?
No, we have not.
Why? Everybody has children.
Yeah.
The birds, the bees, even turtles have children.
They have?
Yes.
Oh, I always thought they had turtles. You know, a friend of mine got married the other day, yes. He had a pound of butter and she had a pound of liverwurst.
Say, they got married for butter or for wurst, I guess.
Ah, cut out the baloney. Lord, Johnny, will you... Mr. Roberts is getting the folks up here. We turn to the musical portion of our program. We have an orchestra who at one time had music explained to them but never heard any of it. So that's the way they play. Here they are, Dr. Novick and his Quislings. Dr. them all playing pinochle. Who's our first contestant, Mr. Roberts?
Our first guest this evening, Mr. Howard, is Corporal John Ackerman of the United States Marines.
How do you do, Mr. Ackerman? It's a pleasure to have you with us. How do you feel, sir?
I feel fine.
Well, that's great. Where's your hometown, would you care to tell us?
Oh, it's down Scobieville, New Jersey.
Oh, Scobieville. Down near home. Know the place well.
Scobieville, New Jersey? Well, put a baseball club in my hand and call me Batty.
Yeah.
I used to work in that town. I was a dishwasher in a dentist's office.
You were a dishwasher in a dentist's office?
I used to wash plates.
Hey, pay no attention to the Mr. Ackerman. He's working up to be a moron. How long have you been in the service, sir?
Just about 3.5 years now.
3.5 years. Fine, my boy, and congratulations. Are you still in, or are you about to get out?
I'm about to get out, I hope.
Well, I hope so, too, my boy, and congratulations to you, and I hope you have lots of luck when you do get out.
I say, you know, Corporal, you know, congratulations, too, for me, yes. I was in the last war, you know. I was a rear gunner on a bomber.
Wait a minute. In the last war, they didn't have any rear gunners on the bombers.
They didn't? Oh, no wonder they tied me onto the tail.
Pay no attention to them. What did you do before you went into service?
I was a rear gunner on a bomber.
I'm not talking to you. Pardon the interruption, Mr. Ackerman.
I did service station work mostly.
Oh, I see. You were sort of a service station attendant.
That's right.
And do you think you'll go back to that work after you get out, or...
No, I don't think I will.
Well, I don't think so, too. I bet you've learned a lot since those days. Well, we certainly are very happy to have you with us here tonight.
We sure are. What's your first name, honey?
John.
John?
John.
Oh, is that I love that name, John.
Yeah, John.
So manly.
Yes.
I love manly names.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so manly.
You said that.
I just said that now, and I love the name John. You're hideous, you. And you can just call me Pigeon. I like the bill of two.
And you got the toes to match, too. John, will you reach into the dunce cap there and pick out a question for us, please? Would you be good enough to read the question, if you don't mind? Just take your time.
What country did Mary Queen of Scots come from?
What country did Mary Queen of Scots come from?
Mr. Howard, would you mind repeating the question?
All right, I'll repeat it.
Of course, if you mind, don't bother.
I don't mind.
You don't mind what?
I don't mind repeating the question.
You don't? Oh, that's sporting, Mr. Howard. Thank you so much. Carry on.
Oh, thank you. What country was Mary Queen of Scots from?
What's the name of the country?
Ain't that odd? Well, that's the question I'm asking.
What became of the other question?
What other question?
The one about the Queen of Pots.
Queen of Pots? I didn't say Pots, I said Scots. From what country was Mary Queen of Scots? She was later an English queen.
Oh, boy, you should have seen the Brooklyn Queen I was out with last time. Boy, I tried to kiss her.
Yeah? What happened?
And she crowned me.
She crowned me. I'm not talking about that kind of queen. This queen was a ruler.
How long, Mr. Howard?
Mr. McNaughton, you're a perfect idiot.
Ah, that's what I like about this country. Everybody gets a chance.
This is a historical question. Do you know anything about history, Miss McConnell?
I ought to. I made enough of it.
I see. Well, Mary Queen of Scots was a historical character.
Well, Mary historical, Mr. Howard. Some of your old man did?
No.
Poor old thing.
Okay.
You know, me and my old man get historical every time we have a fight.
No, you mean hysterical.
I mean historical. We dig up the past.
You know, I had a fight with my wife last night.
Oh, don't you know, Mr. McNaughton, before you start fighting, you should count up to 10.
I did. But you should have seen what she did to me while I was counting.
You know, see, the funny, I used to be a fighter.
Yeah?
I fought Kid Williams, Kid Brody, Kid Sweeney, and then my manager double-crossed me.
Oh, really? How?
He ran out of kids and he made me fight a full-grown man.
I think my old man is starting to be a fighter.
Yeah?
Yep. He spends all his time punching the bag.
Well, why don't you punch him back?
Yeah. Well, I...
You know, I tried prize fighting once.
Did you make any money?
Oh, rather, yes.
How much did you get a fight?
$10 down and $10 when I got up. I was on the canvas so much they called me Mona Lisa. Mona Lisa McNaughton, they called me.
A very nice thing. Can we please get back to the question?
What was the question, Mr. Howard?
Are you paying attention?
That's a good question. Yeah. Who said that is?
What was the question?
Are you paying attention?
Ah, not Johnny. When and now, who's our next guest?
Our next guest, Mr. Howard, is a very lovely and charming young lady from Uncle Sam's Navy, Yeoman Third Class Alice King of the Wave.
Good evening, Miss King, and welcome to a place bigger. And how are you this evening, Miss King?
Just fine.
Well, that's fine. You certainly do look it. We're very glad to have you with us. Where is your hometown? Would you care to tell us?
Des Moines, Iowa.
Oh, Des Moines, Iowa.
Oh, yes, of course. That's in Iowa, isn't it, Mr. Howard?
That's right.
Des Moines.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm awfully clever, you know.
I sure. There you are.
Shall we go on to the next question?
Mr. McNaughton, I bet when the snakes get drunk, they see you.
You know, I have a brother works in Des Moines. Not in Iowa, no, Des Moines, Pennsylvania.
I see.
Shovel's cold.
Yeah, I expected that from you, Mr. Shovel.
I went down to Uniontown and I got an awful cold in Detroit.
Yeah.
I had to buy a new jersey.
I see.
It kept me warmer.
Will you stay home for a change? You'll be all over the nation. Pay no attention to them, Miss King. What are you doing in New York? You stationed here or something?
No, I'm having lots of fun.
Who's talking to you? Are you stationed here?
Yes, I work in the Navy Catalog Office and do general office work.
Oh, the general and the Navy Catalog. Oh, that's making up catalogs. Is that right?
Well, we help out.
Oh, you help out. Yeah, maybe you could help me out. Do you know if the new Sears Roebuck catalog is out? You don't do that, Emily.
No.
Well, I didn't know. You know, it's basically ignorant. That's the name of the show. How long have you been in the service?
A little over a year.
A year? That's fine. How do you like it? I suppose you...
Real well.
Good, good. What did you do in the... What did you do in the... I'm going to get them fixed next week. What did you do in Des Moines before you went into the service?
I worked in an office and did general office work also.
Oh, you've done general office work, bookkeeping, stenography, and stuff
yes.
like that? Did you ever take any dictation?
No.
You never took any? Then you're not married.
No.
She's a nice little wave, though. I just sitting here admiring.
Oh, you were?
You know, I went over to Jersey to see a little wave last week. Uh-huh. She just finished her basic training, Mr. Howard.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, next week we go on maneuvers.
Put razor blades in your corn plates, will you?
That's a gem of a gag.
Oh. How do you like New York, Miss King?
I like it real well. It's a swell Liberty Town.
It's a what?
A swell Liberty Town.
A swell Liberty Town. What do you mean by Liberty Town?
Well, they give the service people a lot of opportunities to go to all the shows and everything.
Oh, they give the service. Oh, well, that's fine. I'm glad to hear that. Yes, New York has a great reputation for treating the service people very nice. Yes, I suppose you've seen a lot of shows.
That's right.
Uh-huh. What shows did you see?
Well, practically all of them.
All of them? Which one did you like best?
I like them all.
Oh, you do? Well, that's fine. You certainly are not sticking your chin out.
What are you doing after the show tonight?
Never mind. Tell them that's too much liberty.
That's right.
Pay no attention to them, as I said before. We're going to throw them a fish any minute.
I think the lady's very charming, very pretty, very attractive, fascinating.
Well, I know that.
Very nice piece of bric-a-brac.
I see. Mr. McNaughton, when did you first come to know that you like girls?
When I found out they weren't boys.
I see. You're going to a fancy dress ball?
Yeah, I am. You know, I don't know. I'm all upset. I don't know what to go as.
You don't know what to go as?
No.
Why don't you take a trunk with you and go as an elephant?
Shut up, you old chowder.
Look, I see. Chowder's
long,
getting out of there.
Well,
you're doing
well, the Long Island Chowder.
What's that?
It's Long Island Chowder.
Oh, I see. Do us a favor while you're here, Miss King. I'll meet you at the dunce cap at Johnny O's and pick out a question for us, if you don't mind. And when you get one, would you be good enough to read it, please?
How many wheels has a bicycle?
Very nice. How many wheels is a bicycle?
Mr. Howard, would that be a man's bicycle or a woman's bicycle?
Well, Mr. McNaughton, don't worry about it. It doesn't make any difference.
No, it don't make any difference. Why do they make men's bicycles and women's bicycles? Why don't they make them all alike? Why discriminate? Answer me that if you can, my fine feathered friend.
Mr. Sheldon, you're a fool.
Flattery won't get you no place with me. And don't invade the question. Don't try to get out of answering it.
I'm not even trying to answer your question.
Mr. Howe, that isn't fair. We try to answer your question. So quite naturally, we expect the same cooperation from you. Suppose we made no effort to answer your question.
Yeah, where would you be? Then you wouldn't get an answer then at all.
I never get an answer now.
I wouldn't say that, Mr. Howe.
What's that?
I wouldn't say that, Mr.
Why wouldn't you say it?
Because you just said it.
Because I just said it.
I'm no copycat.
All right. Do you mean you don't know how many wheels a bicycle has? Why, the answer's in the word itself.
Yeah, but what word?
Yeah, but what word?
I think I know the word.
Mr. McNaughton knows the word.
He does.
Don't tell him, Mr. McNaughton.
That's fine. Mr. McNaughton, what is the word, please?
The word? Wheels.
Wheels? How do you figure that out?
Yeah, how do you figure that out?
Will you stop repeating everything?
Well, you see, if a bicycle only had one wheel, Mr. Howard would have used the singular. He would have said, how many wheels has a bicycle? Inasmuch as he said, how many wheels has a bicycle, we must accept the fact that the bicycle has more than one wheel.
Yeah, but how do we know he's telling the truth?
Yeah, how do we know he's telling the truth?
Well, we'll presume that he is, you see. So with that cue to work on, all we have to do now is figure out the exact number of wheels the bicycle has. Perfectly simple.
Mr. McNaughton, that's marvelous.
What's marvelous about it?
Yeah, what's marvelous about it?
I don't think it's marvelous.
But some don't think it's marvelous.
Listen. Email first.
All I know now is that the bicycle has more than one wheel. But how many wheels more than one wheel? That's going to be figured out. That's the toughest job ahead of us, yeah?
No, but wheels is not the word that give you the clue.
Then what's the idea of trying to deceive us like that? Haven't we got enough trouble trying to figure these problems out without you giving us false cues?
Yeah, I hate anything false.
Yeah, well, why don't you take your teeth back the way you got them? Look, don't any of you know what the prefix B.I. means?
Mr. Mr. Howe, would you repeat that? What did you say?
I say, don't any of you know what the prefix B-I means?
Now he's talking about vitamins.
I'm not talking about vitamins. I said B-I meaning two.
Oh, there were two bicycles. Oh, when did you say so before?
Oh, he's a sneaky little guy, that guy. He can't be trusted.
Look, please, there's only one bicycle. Look, cycle means wheel, B-I means two. How many wheels has a bicycle?
Mr. Howe, let the question go until next week. In the meantime, the next bicycle I see, I'll make it my business to count the wheels, and I'll let you know. I'll phone you.
Yeah, that's a very good idea, Mr. McLaughlin.
Yeah. Say, you know, I have a bicycle, but when I went riding, I never noticed whether it had wheels on it or not.
Oh, really? Do you ride a bicycle, Mr. Howe?
Certainly.
Well, tell me, how do you keep your trousers from getting caught in the sprocket?
I have clamps in my pants.
Brings us to the end of our rope, which is where the experts belong. We'd like to have you all listening again next week. Now, here's that hot-calling baritone to tell you what we mean when we say...
It's a stupid ignorance.
For the record, that's all. Be with us again next week and hear it proven again by Tom Howard, Lulu McConnell, George Shelton, and Harry McNaughton that it pays to be ignorant. Ken Roberts speaking. This is the Armed Forces Radio Service. Thank you.